Hello everyone, happy new year and welcome to Dicing with Design Gaming Podcast. I'm Grant and here we have our co-host Colin.
Hello.
And games designer extraordinaire Joe.
No, you're too kind, sir. Hello everyone.
Yeah, probably am.
Maybe not quite extraordinary. No, yes.
Pretty darn good.
Deserved that one.
Okay, so first of all, we're going to be talking about what we've been playing, as usual. Maybe a wee bit of news, and then going on to talking about Warhammer End Times, so more Warhammer chat from us. But hey, that's what we're into. Also, maybe some news about a future Kickstarter.
Teasing.
Yeah. Probably saying something similar to what we're saying this time last year. But anyway, this time we mean it. But before then, we've had some contact and review on iTunes. So thanks very much for that. Colin, do you want to take us through our five-star review?
Yeah, it was very kind from Mr. Steve Huge. I wonder if that's his real name. That is pretty cool if that is his real name. I would like to be called Mr. Huge myself. But his review goes like this. As someone who's been attempting to develop a rather in-depth rule set for some time, happening across this was somewhat of a godsend. The guy's down-to-earth and funny with a nice mixed group of preferences so far as games go. Their understanding of the hobby seems extensive, and so the insights into elements of tabletop gaming right across the board, from board gaming to card games, board games to RPGs, their outlook, experience, advice, and discussions have been a huge help. Really good stuff, well worth a listen, whether you're designing a game or just interested in the hobby in general. So that's far more than we deserve, I think, Steve, so thanks very much for that. And I do appreciate you saying that we seem to know what we're talking about, because I think Grant and Joe do, but I don't, so I'll go on in that that compliment, even though I don't deserve it.
Maybe Joe does. But we'll forever be known as a godsend. Thanks very much for that, and these reviews do help push us along and help people find us. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, no, they're invaluable for getting the show out to more people and making it really worthwhile doing this. So yeah, if you have a chance, if you have a second, I'd really appreciate it if you could pop onto iTunes and just give us a review. No need to be 5-star, whatever you think's honest, but it'd be great. Thanks.
And if there's anything you think would make us better, then just get in touch and we'll tell you about that at the end of the show, or just go to diceywithdesign.com. So guys, it's been a while since the last episode. We were doing so well, but I think Babygeddon hit a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did. It sure is. It sure is already hitting hard and fast and spew-filled.
Looks like to repeat, Mr. Prince.
Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait for Babygeddon myself.
Joe, there's one thing I'll say. You think that 1 and 1 equals 2, but 1 and 1 seems to equal 12 for some reason. It's terrible.
Strangely, I predicted this more than you did. I think you're maybe just in denial a little bit.
No, it's fine. It's fine, really, honestly. But yeah, it's difficult. Anyway, yes, but we're back. We're back.
Okay, and now we're so we'll just, as usual, go into our usual feature on what we've been playing.
Dicing with Design, giving games life.
And we're back. Welcome, guys, to our what we've been playing section. So, if you'd like to, who'd like to take this one first?
Go and call you firing.
I could start if you like.
Yeah.
Cool. What have we been playing? I think what the first thing was before Christmas, WWC. Sorry, mm-hmm. That was a completely wrong order. Was WWC before Christmas?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
This is our long-running Rolemaster role-playing game with our friend Matt as GM, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Colin.
Yeah. more about the gate. All right, okay, yeah. So it was the latest incarnation. We were trying to break into the outpost of one of our most hated enemies, weren't we? So we set off. Basically, it was just a bit of a prelude. Got together our party, and then went off into the dungeons. It was a good old-fashioned dungeon bash, really, wasn't it?
Well, we did have some scenes that had been pre-decided which short scenes we had. So we had a bit of we're surrounded. We started off the session surrounded by marauding horsemen, but we managed to negotiate our way out of that.
Oh yeah, in the fort, yeah.
By joining forces with them.
Yeah, exactly. We all had our flashback scenes, didn't we? Everyone had like a flashback scene about their character. And then there was the negotiation with the Horse Lord, and then, yeah, we found our way to the dungeon. For a better expression.
Yeah, it was a dungeon, but, you know. But it was set up nicely, and we've done... It's the same sort of structure as we had last time, and, it worked again. We had some really awesome scenes.
Yeah. The flashback scenes thing works nicely just to break stuff up, doesn't it? I mean, I remember some of our older sessions, even though there's some brilliant stuff in there, you can kind of get bogged down a little bit in the getting somewhere sometimes. But the flashbacks tend to break it up into just something a bit different, maybe a bit of action or a bit of narrative or something like that in between the politics and the logistics, I guess.
Yeah, it broke up the pace of it. It gave it a nice pace.
Yeah, it's cool. It's probably not worth going through the story because nobody else has a clue what we're talking about. But suffice to say, we rolled some very lucky dice at some point and skipped out about half of the dungeon and ended up climbing up through basically what amounted to a trap door in our arch nemesis's dining room and found him unawares. While it was good, it was a wee bit of an anticlimax, wasn't it? Because it was us plus 15 soldiers appeared with him on his own. So it wasn't much of a battle in the end.
Servants with him.
Well, there was still a ancient and powerful mage who was his ally, who was just the other side of a mirror portal. We managed managed to smash the. If she'd gotten through, we'd have been in trouble.
If the Green Witch had got hold of us, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that. I could have got her with a bit of plasma anyway, but hey.
But after some good rolling, we managed to stop those portals working as well. Then we had a large in-character argument between my character and Joe's, which we couldn't find a way out of the argument to stop the scene until I threatened to throw him out. That was a good end to the scene in the end. We're going to have to backtrack on that or find some way of becoming pals again, I think.
I do remember vaguely that happening and thinking it went on for quite a while, didn't it?
Yep. Dave got fed up and left the room because we were going on for about 20 minutes. Unfortunately, it was a 5-minute argument repeated 4 times.
What were we arguing about then? Was it about Devros Beguile, about that NPC?
Yes, it was about mainly about you wanted to go after and ask the Ancient Order of Mages if we should join in with them, and I said they'll come to us. You thought we had to go through your countryman and mentor, who we've recently captured because he's an enemy of the state, and. I think we don't have to worry about him, and I've promised my mother he's going to die anyway by execution one way or another.
Ah, you'll never stop the guy. He's very cunning.
Yeah, anyway, I had my lovely posh aristocracy accent yelling at you, and you were yelling at me in your Italian type.
We got deep into characters, don't we? Deep immersion. That was great. That's what I like best about that campaign, I think. Just like really
the accents.
Stupidly, well, just getting into character, and I think, yeah.
Yeah, we know who the characters are. We know who our characters are by now.
Yeah, you can get kind of drawn away by it, can't you? Carried away even.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a drunken session. They all are, but it was really good.
Okay. We also got to play just a tiny bit of Epic Tiny Kingdoms on that day as well, but we'll have to save that for later because we didn't play a full game. That's a small game that came, package that has a whole what's it called? 4X game?
Yeah.
5X? How many X's? 4X game. But we'll have to come back to that. It looks really cracking, I have to say.
Yeah, I got that off Kickstarter, and it's the quick half a game we played. It was pretty good.
So. Okay, so more on that in a future episode. Sorry, any more, Colin? I've interrupted your flow.
That's okay. We played Battlestar Galactica over the Christmas as well. Christmas holidays, we managed to get in a game with the Pegasus expansion. We mentioned before recording that we played with the Pegasus expansion, but we actually didn't really get to the what would you call it? The Pegasus section, which is
We had the section where we have a second ship, some new characters. They replace the cardboard base stars. So this is Battlestar Galactica, obviously based on the popular TV show, the remake of the reboot of the Battlestar Galactica series. And this is the Fantasy Flight board game we're talking about, and this is the Pegasus expansion. Everyone knows what we're talking about. Quite a few years old now, but still awesome. And this is the first game with the expansion. You get a secondary board with new locations on it and new abilities linked to those locations, including putting people out of the airlock if you think they're a Cylon, a secret agent of the robot race sent to destroy us.
Nobody got thrown out of the airlock this time, sadly. I almost got there, actually. I was trying. I did quite well. I was a Cylon, and I managed... Well, actually, I think it was more... Granted, afterwards as well, it was more the humans. There was a couple of little things that we managed to get, that I managed to get both humans suspicious of each other, basically by egging on Neil a little bit.
Yeah, I played with... it was Colin and I played with my brother Neil, and... Yeah, we both messed up, just made mistakes, but you can never tell if someone's making a mistake or deliberately messing the whole team up. And Colin is the secret Cylon, just sort of sat there and watched us starting accusing each other. Colin, it's him! Colin, it's him! Colin's sitting there.
So I managed to get... we managed to get... Grant into the brig, and then that basically kind of ruined the humans' game for the rest of it. And yeah, it was a pretty easy one from then on. But it was good fun. It was great, actually. It was the politics in it were even more interesting than usual, I think.
I was just going to say, as you go on and play more of this game, and there's that whole poker thing of playing, not playing the game, just more playing your opponents. You can't get tired of it. You can't get tired of playing your guessing and second guessing and third guessing that happens.
Yeah, it's just so different every single time, isn't it? It's just, you're never going to repeat a game.
How much do you feel that the Pegasus expansion added to it then?
Well, I think, Colin, you would have gotten most out of it as the secret Cylon player.
Yeah, I think it adds the Cylons' options, certainly. So you get a bit more that you can do. And you can do a sleeper agent thing where you can go back in. So you can jump back onto the ship if you want and actually take part as a player again. Obviously, people know that you're a Cylon by this point, but there's still stuff you can do if you can manage not to get thrown into the brig. So it's quite nice. It just gives you a few more options. It gives you... on the Cylon ship as well, there's a couple more things you can do, so it's nice, actually. It gives you more encouragement to turn into a Cylon earlier, whereas I felt like the old game, you kind of wanted to just remain a Cylon as long as possible, because as soon as you are outed, then basically your options are so limited that the game isn't that much fun anymore. So, yeah, I think it's definitely an improvement.
Yeah, and also it comes with plastic Battlestar base stars, which add absolutely zero rules. It's just a nice miniature to replace your cardboard ones from the original, and I fully approve of this.
Yeah, they're cool. Okay. So apart from that, that. It was just a couple of more traditional games. We played a few games like Pass the Bomb with Kate's family. So that was just a silly, you get this little plastic device that counts down randomly over about 2 minutes, I think. And you have to go around in circles and come up with words that start with or end with or have in the middle, like a two or three letter sequence. And it was actually really good fun. It was one of those silly little things that, you know, you get in Toys R Us or whatever, but I don't know, you kind of pass over those type of games sometimes just because they're, you know, they're not strategic or they're not you know, they're not the type of games that we normally play, but it can be great fun sometimes, and you get to play them with different types of people as well. Obviously, like, I couldn't have exactly pulled out Warhammer or Small World or whatever with Kate's mum and dad there, so yeah, it was cool. Tried a few more like that, and yeah, should try and do that a bit more often.
Yep, cool. Also, I went around to yours just before Christmas call and played Insecurity.
We did, yes, we did. And we managed to get an outsider in that. So, well, I say an outsider, I mean my wife, but an outsider of gaming to play because it's quite a simple, easy game to get into.
We got a normal.
Yes, exactly, a normal.
What is Insecurity then, in your spirit of explaining what games are?
Indeed, indeed. Insecurity is a game that I got on Kickstarter for, I think, the grand sum of £2. So it's the cheapest Kickstarter I've ever seen before or since. And all it comes is as is a set of six cards. So six cards about the same size as, you know, kind of tarot deck, so a bit bigger than your normal deck. And they double up as player... They are the full manual. So if you lay out the six cards in a row, they stack up into a manual that you can read through from top to bottom. But each individual card on the other side has a set of player rules for each number of the dice, 4 to 6, and a scoreboard as well. So you can put your counter on it and count round from 0 to 12. And basically the idea is that you're a secret agent. You're rolling a pool of dice, which is up to 5 dice, and you can do certain things with those dice. So there's only, I think, 6 different actions each turn, and your idea is to try and acquire secrets and to take away secrets from other people, depending on what dice is in the pool. So it's not very complicated at all. It's pretty simple, actually, but it's a really fun little game, quite quick. Definitely one for more than 2 people, I think. With 2 people, it's a wee bit limited, but we tried it with 3. It's definitely a lot better.
To be fair, I think it actually says, I think it's a 3 players and up game, but we tried it with 2.
Oh, was it? Did we discover that? Yeah, I've tried it with 2 before, and it was a wee bit... you could play it. It was okay. It was good fun, but yeah, definitely better with 3. And if it does say that in the game, then yeah, that's my fault.
Good fast filler game, I think. I find it quite odd. One of the things that comes up, and probably, you know, 1/6 of the options that comes up, even with the cyberpunk sort of stylings, is the fact that, you know, it's an office party comes up. So yeah. I wonder if it should, you know, the theme should be more around based around a kind of a zany, wacky office party kind of theme. It's
yeah. Well, I think the background is that you work in a high tech firm, don't you? It's a company. Mm-hmm. So that's yes, but it's a wee bit funny. They're obviously trying to make a game where you basically can play it with just a set of 6 dice and very little else, like including very little instruction. And I think that works quite well for that, like considering what's in it. It's got a reasonable wee bit of strategy to it as well.
Also, I think it managed to, it reminded me a bit of Joe's Contenders you did an edition with on cards, where you had all your rules laid out on a few cards, and that was quite cool.
Yeah, I've never actually released that yet.
All right, okay, so it's very good. Everyone should ask you to release that. All role playing game on a set of cards, as well as some cards which work as nice templates as sort of character sheets.
Yeah, well, it achieves your dream, Grant, of always having a game which you don't have to look up any manuals or anything like that. The rules are right there in front of you. You don't really have to do anything.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think that's it for me, though.
Cool. Right, Joe, we managed to play a game or two of your new Space Hulk.
We did indeed, yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's a while ago we played that, but yeah, so it's how long since we podcasted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good to play Space Hulk. It's been a long time since I actually played the board game, the old classic Marines versus Aliens, and we played tested. Well, we played it. We played the new first mission because I got the new edition from last year.
Yeah, it feels like heresy having a different first mission. Mission 1, yeah, on all the versions I've ever played, has been Suicide Mission.
Yeah. Which is, you know, not the cheeriest start to a campaign, is it? You're the Marines, you're the ultimate killing machines in the universe. Right, you're on a Suicide Mission.
It's grim dark.
But it was interesting because you made a good point about the new first mission. I can't remember what it's called, but it's very complex, isn't it? There's a lot of it throws kind of everything at the new player straight away.
With special rules on top of it as well, with the special restrictions. So if you play sort of a random mission in the middle of it, it would be very different. I think there are movement restrictions for the gene stealers or something. Very odd.
Yeah, there's something like that. They start off with lower action points because they're not fully awake and then they wake up. And so, yeah. It's nice to have some extra missions, but it was strange to put that in as the very first one, you know, replacing Suicide Mission, which is a classic and very basic mission that kind of teaches you the rules.
Yeah, not that many people are getting to play it, just the limited run. I think you told the story in the last episode, yeah, about how you sent your wife out into the cold and stormy Glasgow to get the queue up and buy your coffee.
Yeah, I did get my coffee. And the Games Workshop website screwed me again.
Yeah, you said last time. So I've just been listening to it, but yeah.
No, I mean, it's happened again. Like, I was trying to order something for End Times. Their website crashed.
Well, I think...
I was trying to order... Should we cover this in the End Times segment?
I think, okay, cool.
We'll cover it in the End Times segment. Yes, we played some Space Hulk, didn't we? And then I've got a fair bit of Warpack in as well, which has been great to play test that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're sort of trying out all of your. You've got in the rules a lot of different scenarios just now. I think in terms of the game, I mean, your core rules are there. I don't think there's any great improvements that I could think of to be made. So it's now looking at the scenarios. I'm trying to make up a spreadsheet to make the job of creating units a bit more
that does make it a bit more user friendly. I've done you've probably seen in the shared folder an attribute summary that's now got a summary of all the attributes you get at each level of technology.
Oh, cool.
With your spreadsheet.
Yeah, that would help. Yeah, I might actually have to learn to program something somehow, some way, because I'm reaching the edge of what I can do with a spreadsheet, I think. But it'll be interesting as I...
Yeah, I need to properly get Battlescribe downloaded on the laptop, so I've only got it on my phone at the moment, and I just want to do up some rosters on Battlescribe so you can just use that, because that's a good, easy-to-use system.
It is really good, actually, if you can get it on that, because Battlescribe's like a free army builder software, and that's really there's a paid for edition as well, which I think I'm going to get because it's not expensive. It's really good.
And can you build templates for that quite easy, Joe, for your own system? Is that how it works?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Looking at their website, but I haven't actually given it a try yet. So, I mean, it shouldn't be that hard because the unit lists and army lists in Warpack are a lot simpler than in 40k, for example, and it seems to handle 40k fine.
So. Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Cool. Okay, anything else you want to say about Warpack?
We had a couple of games, didn't we? I say it was just now the scenarios, wasn't it? So the first one we had the diplomat scenario, wasn't it? So your Cult of the Prince of Darkness had to escort the Goblin Ice Queen across the Wild Forest.
Yeah, I didn't make it.
Yeah, well, some elves ambushed you.
Yeah, I got ambushed pretty well. Yeah, they didn't. And my big guys in armor just couldn't squeeze through with the diplomat. We played the biggest battle yet, haven't we?
A huge game. How many points aside? Was it 1,000 points aside or something?
Yeah, but what would you say is the equivalent? Something like 3,000 points of Warhammer or something?
I think probably bigger in Warhammer.
In terms of...
I think we played 1,200, didn't we? Because that gave
yes.
two commander-level characters. Yeah, we played 1,200, which is, probably about equivalent to maybe, 3,500 in Warhammer, something like three times.
If you want to see our armies, then I put up on YouTube... I think it was on my channel on YouTube under my Google account. So if you look at our Facebook, Google Plus or Twitter, then you'll see I posted those up. Would have been late November, early December. And you'll see links to both our armies, which are enormous.
Yeah.
Although I do have complaints about my breathing during one of the videos. Apparently, I sound all too excited about this collection of models.
Just draw our attention to it. No one will notice.
Okay, but yeah, that was a so the huge battle. That's the first time I've ever noticed because you're assigning cards at the start of the turn. This is the first time I ever noticed that thing of spending some time at the start of each turn. Giving out those order cards to show how good your to determine how good your units are going to be at that point during that turn. It wasn't too cumbersome, but it's the first time I've noticed there. Whereas I thought I know Dave said this when we first started playing that he expected that to be even at the small level, but you noticed the time, but it was still. It was time worth spending. You felt that it made a difference.
Yeah, it's playing the game, isn't it? It's strategizing at that point. You're like trying to figure out where to put your strength. And a lot of the cards you kind of assign themselves. It's like, well, it's a missile attack, and you don't want to put on a war machine, or whatever. But for a battle that size, it did seem to go relatively quickly, a lot quicker than Warhammer game of equivalent size would have gone.
Absolutely, yes. That's the thing. And preloading your front loading your strategy, your tactics at the start of a turn like that does help things move along at a pace.
Yeah, so that was cool. I enjoyed that. That was a good game. I've had like I said, the first really big test of the system, which seemed to work pretty well. I enjoyed it. I think the orcs managed to win in the end, and the trolls just came through. But you had your two huge units that were just kind of killing everything, but couldn't be everywhere.
Yeah, I did the whole thing of trying to break the system by putting the bad cards onto my tiny units, and then sent all my tiny units out as chaff at the same time. Same mistake as I've made three or four times before when I played the game. And that didn't work.
That wasn't the best. And I've also introduced my friend from work to Warpack. He's just pretty new to wargaming and gaming in general. I've played a couple of games of 40K with him before.
I've played him at Fantasy.
You've played Ryan at Fantasy, haven't you? So we had a game of Warpack. With the new lizards that he bought, so did a quick faction for the Reptorian Empire, and he seemed to really like it as well. For someone who's really new to war games, he picked it up pretty quickly and he got into it, and didn't seem like it was too complex. And we had a good close fought game, doing one of the scenarios, which was essentially a bit like the Watchtower in Warhammer, except it was a relic that you had to secure that was in the central location.
Yeah, so far, it's objective-based.
Yeah. So that was good, that was encouraging, that it seems like it's accessible to new players and enjoyable.
Yeah, so watch the space folks for developments there.
That's right. Yeah, I think I'm going to need to do like a new kind of playtesting manual, including all the scenarios and things I've been working on, because they weren't in the last playtesting version.
Uh-huh.
So get them in there, get it slightly more user-friendly, and I'm working on the Pretenders campaign as well. I want to have that folded in, so that's all.
Ooh, so this is your Pretenders being the campaign, war game campaign system based on the Contenders role-playing game with your design.
Yeah, that's right. And if it fits really well with Wolfpack, I just need a few little tweaks and things to get the version that will run really smoothly, and so doing card draws for random events. I'm actually going to try and take the fortune out of it, so it'll be easier to play by email, whereas you'll have resources, and if you have enough resources, you can just spend them to take that action, so you won't have to wait on someone rolling a dice or doing a card draw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you don't have to be there or have a... When we played it before, we've had to have a card drawing system where everyone can see the card that's drawn. Not that we don't trust each other, it's just nicer to have it there, and you don't forget.
Yeah, it's nice to see the cards appear. And yeah, I remember the one that I programmed, one time it sent out the wrong thing, I think, didn't it? And it was for one, it was a draw for me, so it looked entirely like I'd cheated. I hadn't, honest Gov.
Uh-huh. Cool, right. Well, I really look forward to that. We're talking about getting away and maybe having a bit of a campaign weekend playing Warpack. So that could be really fun.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that's all the games I've played. Apart from we played a game of Warhammer that weekend as well. That was your birthday weekend, Joe. That was it.
It was fun. Vacation,
where we played all these games. And we also played a game of Warhammer, up to 1,500 points, my Warriors of Chaos versus your
Wood Elves.
Yep. And I could not force you into combat with your tricksy elves.
Yeah. Yeah, they're quite good at just avoiding combat if they want to, the Wood Elves, there's no...
Yeah, but you had an immobile firing base of archer units that I didn't go after. I just tried chasing after your fast stuff with my my demon prince, who's pretty fast itself. I thought I could pin something down, but I just couldn't. I didn't march towards things that I could actually catch up with my Chaos Warriors. So it all went to pot.
that was it, yeah. You got kind of outmaneuvered by the elves, led into ambush, and then I was using the Dark Mage as well for the first time, Dark Magic, and I wasn't that impressed by it, but then the Big Six spell, the Black Horror, that was pretty devastating. That killed a load of your dudes, didn't it?
Yeah, it's one of these big, what do you call it, the Vortex spell nowadays. Because I've used Dark Magic in the old edition of my Dark Elves. I've not seen the new one until that fateful day. But yeah, it's pretty impressive. Yeah, because you weren't just sort of skirting around. You hadn't done any damage to me despite avoiding the combat yourself, and then that, yeah, I think you were looking for a narrow win, and then the magic came in, and
yeah.
I had nothing to reply to it. Oh, sorry, you very well maneuvered yourself into a position where you could cast that spell, and you know, beat me with that. I'm not saying that the dice beat me or anything. It was the way you played it.
Yeah, no, I wasn't thinking. I was just thinking more about how you think it compares to Warpack. Interesting. I'm not going down that way, because we had a similar kind of armies, didn't we, in the first game of Warpack, where I had my Wood Elf army and you had your Cult of the Prince of Darkness, who were kind of like slimy Chaos Warrior.
Yeah, well, that's the balls I use.
yeah, and it was similar. Like I was, because my guys were lighter, so I was trying to outmaneuver you as well. But I felt it was a lot easier in Warhammer. In Warhammer, if because I had fast cavalry units and flyers, you know, it was really easy to get to positions where you had no chance of getting to it.
Well, like I said, there were things that I could have reached and didn't. I didn't go for them. With my fast moving units, I tried to get your fast moving units, but I should have just, and my slow moving unit, I just sort of sat there and waited for you to come to me, but you would never would have. So it's partly down to the way I played. I had to play a different way as well, because remember, we're playing the scenario in
Warpath, yeah.
In Warpath.
Yeah, you had to try and break through and get off the blood. And you got pretty close to the edge, to be fair, before I could pin
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say two completely different games, I guess. The War Pack would have gone quicker, and we spoken before about, you know, the elegance of the design means that you're making important checks rather than rolling dice that might not even result in anything much. All the checks are either in War Pack are either important or just done very quickly.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for that. And yeah, like I say, watch this space. I haven't gone too much into Warpack. And and I'll just say what else I've been playing to get out of the way. Clash of Clans. Clash of Clans on the mobile. It destroys your time, but it is very addictive and quite good fun. So.
Have you heard about this, Colin?
Yeah, I played it for a while, maybe about a year ago, actually.
Rob
was into it. Yeah, so I built up my castle a little bit. But I think it was actually, maybe it was more than a year ago, but it felt like it was a different version than what they seem to promote now. So I'm not sure if it's developed a fair bit or not.
I think it might
seems
have
to be a lot more multiplayer now.
Yeah, did they have clan wars back then?
There seemed to be well, you could certainly attack your neighbours and stuff like that, and there was mention of clans. So,
but they didn't have actual clan wars, because I think clan wars is the new innovation that came in, right. I don't know, a year ago or so, but a while after launch. And that changes it a lot, because that means that there's more point to being in your clan. Like, your clan leader can opt to go to war, and then you get matched up with another clan of the same number of players. And then you have, like, a day of preparation and then a day of like war where you have separate war bases and have to try and raid each other and see who gets the most stars to win the war. You get, like, so that gives it like a kind of competitive bubble, which changes it from the rest of it is just kind of farming for resources and kind of grinding up to get to the next level.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Just the same old multiplayer. Massively multiplayer, but yeah, no, it seemed good, and I'm kind of tempted to go back to it with all the adverts around just now. But I don't know. The one thing that gets me about those is that you get kind of sucked into it because of the grinding element and the especially the multiplayer too. So you suddenly feel like you're achieving a bit more because you're playing against somebody else. But often they don't have any challenge or skill or strategy or whatever to it. I mean, is there much in the way of
battle? There is a good deal of skill and strategy. A lot of it is kind of to do with training the right army, picking the right troops for the choice, and then knowing when to deploy them and how to time it. Because it's well designed. Like all the troops, there's a point to them. There's no troop types that you just kind of have to use at the start and then think, oh, well, they're useless. Okay. We'll go with them anymore. They've all built a niche. So that's pretty well done. But it is kind of ultimately pointless. There's not any story or anything. You're not really.
No, but I mean, I think that if there's at least a bit of strategy and skill to it, then that's what I mean. That kind of puts a lot more point to it. So yeah, that's cool. Yeah, maybe I'll check it out again.
If we're going to talk digital, I've been playing Ingress. But I think we'll leave that. We've been talking quite a while now about what we've been playing, so I think I'll maybe save that till as more digital news for next time around. Because we've got some more topics. Should we do a little? Well, do you want to tell us just now? So I'll take a wee break, Joe, and then you can tell us about pro wrestling.
Dicing with Design, giving games life.
Right, welcome back, everybody, and we're just going to take a brief little mini look at, well, why don't you tell us what this is about, Joe? This is your baby.
A mini update on my long-anticipated and long-in-production wrestling card game for Wrestling Battle Royale. And, I was hoping to release it last year, but there was a few gremlins to be ironed out, they seem to have been ironed out now, so hopefully, crossing everything, it's going to be launched on Kickstarter next month, February. And if I get enough backers, then that will fund the campaign, and you can get a copy of Pro Wrestling Battle Royale, a little wrestling card game winging its way to you.
Yeah, it's certainly different from most of the stuff that you've designed. This is, rather than role-playing game, a quick, fun, well-designed wrestling game.
Yeah, it's a card game. I thought the wrestling setup of what would normally be a fatal four-way or first pin to finish kind of worked well for a multiplayer game, because what I wanted for a multiplayer game, what I find annoying is when you know, you're out of the game and you have to sit around waiting for it to finish. So one of the key designs of pro wrestling is like, as soon as someone gets a pin, that's it, the game's over, they've won. You don't have to sit around waiting for everyone else to lose to serve a winner.
So we'll certainly talk more about this in the future. I think it's important to say, Steen, as you've gone through the pre-production kind of ironing out of problems, that you've actually, you know, you're now coming up with a solution. What am I trying to say?
Coming soon, and it's going to work. It's going to be awesome.
The problems are ironed out before you're starting the Kickstarter. That's my point. You know that this product will be good to go with the funding. So the art's in, the cards you've got. You'll have a prototype, and a production. You have a production copy, don't you?
Yeah, a production copy. Yep. I held back on launching last year, because you know, I was kind of like 90% sure it would be okay, and then it wasn't, so I was glad I held back. But now,
exactly, because in the scenario where you did launch when you first wanted to, it would have been horrible, and now it's going to be great, which is a good thing. If it's different to its most basic. Okay, so we will have a special episode on that to launch the Kickstarter with here on Dicing with Design.
Dicing with Design, giving games life.
And hello, and welcome back to Dicing with Design. And this part of the show, we'll be talking about Warhammer and where it's going. Warhammer End Times is just... It's only months since we... Sorry, what?
End times. It is the end of times.
Joe has been possessed by the spirit of Nagash. Save us.
It was me.
No, it wasn't. It was the beast in the machine.
Right, Joe, you've been possessed by the beast itself. Why don't you tell us what is this End Times that's attached to Warhammer Fantasy Battles?
Is this End Times? It's the biggest supplement that Games Workshop have ever done for an edition of Warhammer. I'm pretty confident in saying, because it spans 5 books now, it's going to be, and they are big books, aren't they? Or double books. The first release was End Times Nagash, which basically took Warhammer back to where it was, 4th edition, Terms of the Undead, by merging the old Tomb Kings back with vampires. They're all just undead again. And that book, like I say, it comes in 2 volumes, so it's a big fluff book, essentially, of like the storyline and the background and what's happening in the Warhammer world. And then a slimmer book, which has the rules for playing end-time games. And each of the releases has followed that pattern, having the two volumes.
Okay, so let's take it like this then. So Nagash was the first book. It came with rules for the big Nagash model itself. But the big change to the game was, like you said, combining the two undead armies, the European style undead and the Egyptian style undead, the vampire counts and tomb kings. So what was in the set? What was in the second book?
Second book was Glotkin, wasn't it, which focused mainly on Warriors of Chaos, or in fact, again, kind of put things back to 4th edition setup of just having a Chaos army, which has kind of already been done with Tamakan, but they did it, you know, they've done it with Glotkin, again, and it introduced again a few new models and new special characters, and the Karl Franz Ascendant, which everyone seems to be raging about online because he just sounds like he's ridiculous and can just kill armies on his own. Which is, again, back to fourth edition.
Yeah. One of the other things that these books come with is the new special characters or upgraded special characters, certainly. And so into our third edition, which is I haven't read myself or
heard too much about. What's your first Warhammer army, Grant?
That'll be Dark Elves.
Wait, sorry. Can we jump back there? So the first one combined the two undead armies. Does that mean that?
This question is going to be, and the answer is no. You still have to buy the two army books.
What I was just a bit confused by, because you've gone on to say the second one is just Chaos Warriors. Are these books that are coming out, are they essentially the same as the old army books? Is it the same thing?
No, because they don't have very many units actually listed, so they're not playable by themselves. It's mostly background, like the background books are a lot bigger, and then the actual rules, it's only rules for a few units, and then like special rules saying you can take a legal army using these two units from these three books. Like, you can take a legal army using these units from Beastmen, these units from Warriors of Chaos, these units from Demons.
Right.
And the other thing is they've changed the character's allowance. They've shifted that, haven't they? Which has become an official rule, which replaces the rule in the Warhammer rule book. So now you can spend up to 50% of your points on Lords and on Heroes instead of 25%.
Okay, so it's another one of these things where they're using the standard existing rulebooks as the kind of the source books, but they're basically creating something else which completely changes parts of it. So you need to have them all. You can't just buy these new books and play from them. You need to buy them plus all the other books to work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plus it means that you have to refer from this book to that book to this book to that book, and there's all these rules that supersede each other and all this kind of shit that basically means that it's all way too complicated. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, that's just what I was saying.
Anyway, on to... So, yes.
Last question. Did you say that the second one there was Chaos Warriors plus Beastmen plus...
Yeah, plus Demons, all the Chaos... things,
demons.
But yeah, mainly
chaos. So they can all be in one army now. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's right, great. Done.
Good. And then the third book is quite interesting as well. That's basically amalgamated, to summarise very quickly, but it's amalgamated all three elf factions into one single elf faction. Like, they're all wood elves now.
Basically.
Yeah, dark elves, they're all wood elves now. They all live in Athelwold. They're all wood elves.
Right. So you can have an army with high elves and dark elves together.
And wood elves, yeah.
Even though they previously had special rules because of for fighting each other for how much they hated each other.
Yeah.
I think there's been some retconning. I'm looking forward to reading that story, actually.
There hasn't. There's a big story that kind of explains it, the big backstory, which I've read in Kane, and it's not a brilliant story, to be honest. It's not great. And I'm pretty annoyed as well that as a Wood Elf player, the Wood Elves don't really do very much really in the whole backstory. It basically comes down to Morathi has kind of corrupted Tirion, and Tirion becomes the Arbiter of Cain. So then it's kind of Tirion versus Malekith, but all High Elves ally with Malekith. And, because he's the new Phoenix King, and the reborn, their gods reborn. It's all about the elven gods being reincarnated and who they were and things like that, and coming together to stand against chaos. But with lots and lots of battles that are quite dull described in detail. Yeah.
But in terms of the game, that's a combined elf list, which we'll think about what that means for the future in a minute. What do you know about book four? That's Thankwall, and that's all about Skaven.
Yeah, book four, all about Skaven, and that's the only one that I've actually got as a hardback, because I went on the website to pre-order that, because Skaven are my first army, and Fancor's my favourite characters in the Warhammer fluff. And a mini rant of, was on the website like, you know, an hour or so after it launched, trying to find the thing, and got the hardback version, got the limited edition dice in my cart, went to check out, and the website crashed, then couldn't get back onto it for like 30 minutes or so, got back and in my cart, and it's like the dice are no longer available, it's limited edition items no longer available. Screwed me again.
Joy. You just saved you money, Joe.
So in terms of the game...
You say that, but they're now going for four times the amount I would have paid on eBay. So.
Just get them next year when they're old news. Anyway, the game, it's, how does that change the game? So it's just Skaven, it's not combining any armies together.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to really change the game at all, the Fancor book. Like, I haven't read it in depth, but the rules sections have all pretty much been published in White Dwarf. So there's rules for New Vermin Wallace, there's rules for Fancor himself, riding Bone Ripper, and there's rules for the new Storm Fiend, Ratoga, Centurion, Terminator, War Machine, hybrid models that they've come with, which do look quite cool, so I have to buy them at some point.
Yeah. So, and into the future, it does. Are the rumors you're hearing about there being maybe just the fifth book and then ninth edition, or ninth edition, then a fifth book, or a fifth book, ninth edition, then more end times?
The rumors that I heard was like it was going to be five books, but then originally it was three books, so I don't know. They might do another couple of books. I'm kind of expecting the fifth book to be the last one because they've pretty much covered all the major factions now.
Mm-hmm. And in the fifth book, the talk will be combining kind of humans, dwarfs, and ogres. Both human factions, dwarfs and ogres, is what I'm hearing, into one super faction.
Into kind of like the really old empire. Like, it was a bit like that.
Yeah.
You know, in third edition, but they could have ogre units and dwarf units in the Imperial army, much more limited than, you know, the whole range of the ogre and dwarf miniatures now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but the point is, this, the main thrust of this, I guess, is where it's going in terms of what the new edition of Warhammer will be. And I think we were pretty out there with some of our wish listing for 9th edition in the episode we did last year. I don't think we came close to the kind of ambition that they're showing with what it sounds like anyway, and the changes that are going to be made. Maybe go through some of the things I've heard. Pardon me. Here's a rumor which seems pretty strong. It'll be all the new models will come with round bases. Discuss.
It's not Warhammer, is it? If you get round bases.
The talk I've heard is that what they'll use is it'll be like Lord of the Rings game where if you do rank up, you'll have some sort of flexibility. I think a lot of this is guesswork and wish listing again, but if you will still have the option of large, this game will scale, so you have the option of larger units which will be ranked up, rather than the loose formation 40k style of having your guys just, you know, within 2 inches of each other, on round bases, scattered around. You'll be able to put them on movement trays, like the Lord of the Rings ones, where you have movement trays with circular holes in them, so you rank them up this way. And even to break formation, or, you know, make them able to break formation if you want them more maneuverable, or to skirmish. Now, what do you think of that?
I don't want to rebase 400 Skaven.
What they were saying on Beasts of War this week, and Warren from Beasts of War seems to have a direct line to folk who know about this sort of thing, is you will not have to rebase your stuff. Basically, if they come up with a new model, then it will have a new base, but you'll be able to play with square bases, even though they don't stand up very well by themselves. So we could have...
So Sorry, go on, Grant.
No, sorry, on you go.
I'm just trying to get my head around all of this. They're trying to make it so that it's a lot less segregated. So you can create much more mixed armies. You can spend more money with them because you can buy like three books as opposed to just one book of the army you love, and you can buy many more models too.
It's kind of the opposite. I think what they're going for is because the model creeps happened where to play a standard Warhammer game, you need so many models now that the entry point is so high that you can't play. Or say just now you can buy three or four hero or lord models. Lords and hero models, and have it make up most of an army in terms of your points. So that whole thing of upping the percentage for your characters means you can have a much smaller army.
Yeah.
Like one big monster, even if it does cost 50 quid, is still, it still costs less money, is less time to build and paint than the equivalent number of points in terms of rank and file army.
But I mean, their kind of focus must be existing fans more than brand new fans. I mean, obviously they're going to be trying to attract new people too, but it must be a sort of thorn in their side almost that there's like hundreds of thousands of Warhammer players out there who have these models, they have an army they've made up already, these things that they've lovingly painted. So try and persuade these people to buy more newer stuff that you've invested time into in the past, and people that have been around for years, so they actually like some of the old models, they don't like some of the new ones. You know, that must be kind of a big thing with Warhammer or with Games Workshop, trying to figure out ways to persuade these people, these throngs of fans, to spend more money. And that just seems like this is maybe a good way to do it. So people that have their two favourite armies, so you're into, like I have Dwarfs and Brettes, suddenly I'm allowed to go out and buy a steam tank.
Yeah.
I can go out and buy some Empire stuff. I can go out and buy what was the other one with us lot? Ogres. So I can go and buy a couple of ogres. I mean, that's quite a big thing. Actually, that's quite attractive to me. That seems pretty cool.
I think End Times is what you're saying. End Times definitely is selling to the existing customer base, absolutely, as an expansion. The 9th edition Warhammer, which is where it's headed, I think they're cleverly tying the other, and they're pointing it towards you, Warhammer. A lot of your models that are different are probably going to do the same job as each other. I think a Bretonian knight is going to be exactly the same as an Empire knight, even if they're called something else later on. You'll still be able to use your own model, I'm guessing. But for a new player coming in, you can just buy the model you like the look of, and it will do. You got more choice of the one book, and you can play smaller games.
Yeah. No, I see what you mean. That's new edition. You can buy the bigger, more cool sort of hard ass units rather than buying lots of little things. That makes sense. Just in terms of factions, I haven't heard you mention orcs or lizard men. Are they in it at all?
Well, lizard men are a big thing.
Yeah, the current rumours that I heard, like orcs and goblins will be, because they're big, they're like one of their best sellers for fantasy, so they're going to be their own faction still.
Okay.
And lizards, they've been rumoured that they were kind of going to be phased out, like you'd still be allowed to use their old book and stuff, but they weren't going to have any new support in 9th edition. Don't know if that's going to be true or not. I think that a lot of things could go that way, that they'll have. So the idea is to cut it down to like six core factions, and from the rumors I was hearing, the idea is to have like, so the core units for each of the factions that will always be in stock, will always be on the shelves, and then they're going to rotate things and do much more limited editions, limited releases.
Okay.
So to kind of keep the demand.
So you can't save. So you're not saving up your pennies for I'll buy that one day. I'll buy that one day. If you want that unit, you've got to buy it now.
Yeah.
But then the tools for, in terms of the logistics of the models, if they're spending thousands to create the tool to make the model, they're not just going to shelf the tool. Because that, then they're not getting any return for that investment. But then it might be that it's not just the cost of the tool for making for the mold. It's also the cost of, you know, the rental space on the shelf.
Yeah,
you have to weigh up against.
Well, that just means they're gonna charge more for them, doesn't it?
they will charge more.
Yeah. There'll be limited edition, so I mean, they charge more all the time, but yeah, they will. This is like essentially, you know, a plastic kit. How much? The tools cost a bit, but how the raw materials don't cost that much, do they? When they're selling them for 50, 60 quid a time. It's got to be pretty good. But the other thing was that they kind of move, the rumours, these are all rumours that we don't know what's going to happen, like games are going to try and move towards, almost towards like a collectible card game system. I think where there'll be like, you know, the core set or the core bits will always be in production, always be on the shelves. And then, you know, they'll have like expansions that have a limited shelf life almost. So like, say you have to buy those models if you want to use them, and then they'll be gone. So I think they're following, it always seems like they're following War Machine a lot as well in the new direction that's rumoured. You know, smaller battles, round bases, characters.
Well, here's the thing, new faction. Let's talk of a new faction. Full of heavily armored warriors will look a lot like Space Marines.
All right.
I think they smell more of space. Some people are saying that they spend more and they sell more Space Marines than anything else. Yeah. Like they sell more Space Marines, sort of these factions in 40K than they do sell fantasy.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So they got a win, you know, they have a winning sort of, what do you call it? A winning concept there with Space Marines, and that's what sells.
Yeah. Well, you're not saying that they would actually use these Space Marine models, like, so you could buy 40k models to use in fantasy.
I think
probably not, but there'll be some that look very, very similar and will lend themselves to doing conversions and things, I reckon.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, they'll be compatible with bits. So you buy a kit, and you can, if you fancy the look of a certain helmet on one kit, you can stick it onto your fantasy Space Marine, and make that work.
Well, they already do similar to that, don't they? With a lot of the fantasy kits, where you can build two or three different things out of kit. So there's no reason why they couldn't have a 40k box that has bits for high tech and bits for low tech, couldn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I know you've got to go, Carl. So, what do you think? What do you think, Joe? Are you hopeful or are you frightened? Because I have to say, I'm probably a bit of both.
I'm kind of frightened for Warhammer, but I'm actually quite hopeful for Warpack. I'm hoping that I'll pick up some of the disgruntled Warhammer players when they turn it into a smaller scale game. If people want to play with big blocks of units,
I was thinking the same thing myself. And I think Ronnie at Mantic Games is probably rubbing his hands as well. There's not as good as Warpack, but with his King's War game and it being based on large blocks of course, those models will be compatible with Warpack as well.
Yes, exactly.
What are you thinking, Cole? Your last thoughts on this?
Well, similar, actually. Towards the second half of last year, we stopped playing Warhammer, didn't we? Because we just got fed up with taking 7 hours to play a game. And it just wasn't fun by the end, because you get into these situations where a game is kind of half decided halfway through, and you still have to play it all out just to make sure. So if it is going to be a good system for smaller scale games that you can play in a couple of hours, but we still get some really cool models to play with and some nice rules, some nice fluff, then that's quite cool. It's a shame that the game has to kind of break to get to this stage where you want that to happen. But yeah, I do enjoy big Warhammer Warpack games much more than the old Warhammer games. So yeah, that's quite cool that we can use their models and play more Warpack. And if we want a quicker game, play Warhammer. But Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, it's just a bit strange, really. It's like complete, you kind of almost imagine that they should bring out something different, like a new game. Not a new game as such, but you remember, you know how they had that at Warhammer Skirmish? I never played it myself,
yeah,
but it seemed to be a different type of system. So you could have the two. You have like a big war game and a small war game.
Rumors are saying that this is what it will be, a scalable game that you'll be able to play both the same book.
Right. Okay. Well,
it'll be interesting to see if it works.
Again, wishful thinking. I don't know. Wish listing. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to learn about it. Like, it's weird. I used to keep up with this so much. Like, I used to know the next books that were coming out and the rumors for the rules and stuff. And then you guys mentioned the end times 2 days ago or something, and I don't have a clue what you're talking about. It's just completely out of the sphere of my awareness now. It's just, I don't know, there's just so much going on with Warhammer, I just can't be well keeping up with it anymore, and just let it come to me instead.
Okay, for me, I think, like I said, equally excited and scared for it. But actually, not. I'm not scared for my model collection because I've got other games to play. I've got Warpath to play with it, and I'm having great fun playing that. I've actually really enjoyed my last year. I've actually played a fair amount of fantasy Warhammer, and I've actually enjoyed the game. Even though I've been playing Warpath, I've actually also enjoyed playing Warhammer. They're different things.
Yeah.
I've been playing quite small games of Warhammer, which I think is what's kind of
keeps it moving.
Yeah. But I've quite enjoyed it. Been playing some new people as well, who are less good than Joe and Matt. So I've been getting beat less. That might have something to do with it. But anyway, in the future, I'm excited to see it. But I'm not so invested that I am really frightened. This is probably the wrong thing. I'm in that case, there's nothing to fear. It's all good. It's a new game.
Maybe that's it now. We've got alternatives, so if they completely ruin it, we don't actually care that much. We can play someone else instead.
Absolutely. But we're having a new option, a new game.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to say that I do like 8th edition of Warhammer. I think it's probably the best edition they've had so far. Terms of actually working as a game, which is why I'm kind of thinking, you know, just a small revision in 9th edition could make it brilliant, but it sounds like it's something completely different, which it leaves it in the wait and see category.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Right.
Does that mean we're going to do for this upcoming hopeful game weekend? We'll do a last blast of 8th edition, or is it going to be a Warpath weekend? What do you think?
Ooh.
We could do both, whatever people prefer. Yeah.
Bit of a combo.
We could have a campaign, yeah, you could still use. Yeah, could have a campaign. You could have some games played with one system, some with another. Oh, my battery's running low. I might get kicked off in a minute.
Okay, right. Under that bombshell.
Cool. Well, good speaking to you guys. Glad to be back.
Yeah, stuff. I will still be a cheery old call, and I think Joe and I, if Joe lasts, then we'll see you on the other side of a jingle, and tell you how you get in touch with us. See you in a sec.
Dicing with Design, giving games life.
Right, folks, welcome back. We're just joining us to close up the show. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find out all of our social media links. We're all over the internet, but you go to dicingwithdesign.com to find out about us. And if you'd like to leave us a review, do so. You can do so on iTunes. So we look forward to speaking to you soon, hopefully within a get back to some sort of monthly schedule, at least close as we can. And very hopefully, fingers crossed, pro wrestling Kickstarter, could you?
Yeah, pretty sure. We're good to go.
Just about
stay
there.
Stay tuned for the specials, yeah.
Absolutely, and maybe talk about other card games as well. Anyway, thanks for listening, and enjoy your games, everyone.
Gaming, catch you all later. Bye.